going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're early today and we're on time. Yes, we are, goddammit, we are on time. So let everybody know that we're live right now. We're chopping up good game. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. So don't y'all move a muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
After a failed attempt at robbing a bank, two convicts are on the run for their lives.
Look, nephew, I'm a level with you. Look, we're in some serious trouble.
This might sound crazy, but they were zombies.
But as soon as they feel they've bought themselves some time, they learn that time is actually running. Catholic Productions presents Quasi-Fictional. Available now on Vimeo On Demand and coming soon to other streaming platforms.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H Report 2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's going on, guys? We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're early and we're on time. Surprise, surprise. We still have the Hidden Colors Black History Sale going on right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get Hidden Colors 1 through 5 plus the 1804 DVD, The Hidden History of Haiti. You can get all that for $49. The sale lasts for a week and a half. We got a week, what, 2 weeks, a week and a half? We got a week and a half left. So you better take advantage of that right now. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Also, if you do not have your tickets for the Foundational Black American Conference that's happening in Atlanta June 20th in a couple of months, you need to go to FBAC2020.com. If you're looking at us live on YouTube, look at the link right below and get your tickets right now. Get your vending space right now, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff is happening out here. The Weinstein case, Harvey Weinstein, he's basically on trial. And from what I understand, the jury, they're deliberating right now. And it looks like they're going to do just like we thought they were going to do. They're probably going to acquit this guy. He's not going to do any jail time. A lot of the white media, they're already putting out stories saying that he will most likely be acquitted, which is what we've been saying for the last couple of years. You can look at tweets going all the way to 2017. I said Harvey Weinstein is not going to jail. When we were pointing out the racial witch hunt, which was the Cosby case, all of the white-splaining, they were popping up talking about, no, this ain't got nothing to do with race, buddy. Harvey Weinstein, he's getting arrested, and we kept telling them Harvey Weinstein ain't going to nobody's jail. They've done too much to create smoke screens to protect Harvey Weinstein. They've done too much to target black males and deflect to help Harvey Weinstein. Oprah and Gayle going out here making imbeciles of themselves, that was for Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein ain't about to see no jail time. They're doing too much to help him. White supremacy and the white supremacists, they're all on code with this Weinstein case. They're all on code. If he goes to jail, I would be completely shocked, but they've worked too hard to keep him out of jail. The white supremacists are on code. White supremacy is on the march and they're on code. Notice how you don't see this big circus of the Me Too crowd outside of the courtroom with Harvey Weinstein. Remember, in the Cosby case, they were out there acting a damn fool every day, running around there with signs. The white lawyers were running around there having these mixed immigrants with big ass afros running around. They had this bed wench running around with an afro and her titties out, jumping all through the bushes, acting a damn fool at the Cosby case. They're not doing that now. You notice that? Oh, they're not doing that now. They even asked Gloria Allred, how come, where's all the circus activity? Where's all the Me Too crowd? And she tried to play dumb. So, you know, they're preparing to let the guy go. We better understand white supremacy. And any Negro who was co-signing this white supremacist witch hunt, see, we got to understand when niggas are enemies of the state. All these niggas out here, you know, Cosby's supposed to go to jail. He had admitted it. No, Cosby didn't. Most of these Negroes that sit around here co-signing white people doing these racialized attacks, really look at these Negroes. They have the same MO. They have the same background. Most of these Negroes are raised by a suspected white supremacist parent, or they come from a non-foundational Black American background. It's always the same MO with these Sambos out here who are collaborators with the white supremacists. You understand? Or some swirling Negro. But we got to understand the game out here. By the way, an up-and-coming rapper, Pop Smoke, he was killed out here in L.A. last night. And R.I.P. to that guy. I don't know too much about the dude, but he was an up-and-coming cat. From what I understand, he was doing some stuff on Instagram Live yesterday, and inadvertently, he posted his address. He posted his home address. And right after he did that, some folks ran up in his spot and got at him at like 4 o'clock in the morning. See, this is why, you know, you got to be careful. This is why I get on folks. I tell people how dangerous it is with these assholes out here posting people's home address. People try to do that shit with me. That shit is very dangerous, posting people's home addresses online like that. They immediately went up there and got that dude. So I don't know the ins and outs of it. Nobody knows who did it. I'm hearing all types of different theories. Somebody said it could have been an inside job. We don't know. I've heard some stories. Somebody said it was some Armenians got at him. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know anything that's happening. The police doesn't know. They don't know. But posting dude's address or him making a mistake in posting his address, that's not a good look. There's a lot of rumors out right now, so we don't know. The police, I saw they were doing a press conference, so they don't really know all the details. They're still gathering all the details, but that's a very unfortunate thing. You know, and it was up there in the Hollywood Hills from what I understand, and this is the problem. And I hope it wasn't no Negroes who did that. because a lot of rappers who live in suburban areas, Negroes will skip over all the white houses to get that one Negro that's up there. That just shows the coon spirit in them. If you go out to the suburbs and skip over all them white houses to find the one Negro that lives on the block to rob and kill him, that just shows that coon Sambo energy that's out there. That happens to a lot of rappers. Rappers be living out in the suburbs and niggas go rob the rapper's house. Yeah? But Zimmerman is trending right now. And I know everybody makes the comparison. Zimmerman is walking around here safe and sound, but cats are getting at all the rappers out here. You got no problem taking penitentiary chances for another black person. You understand? It's insane. We got to get that coon spirit about the game. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. So today's topic, folks, I want to talk about the history of the white supremacists sexualizing and objectifying black children. That's what I really want to talk about on today's program. I want to ask black people something, especially some of the shea butter Negroes. Well, I don't really need to ask you anything because you're team white supremacy anyway, but I want black folks to ask themselves a question. Excuse me. When has white society ever got together collectively to do something to help black people or a black person? Let's just ask some simple questions here. When has white society ever gotten together and said, hey, we as white society, we're all going to get together and help and support this black person? And I'm not talking about them being entertained by a rapper or them being entertained by some Negro running a football or a basketball. That's entertainment. They get something out of that. They get entertainment out of that. And that brings ratings and that brings money. So that's not them, quote unquote, getting together to help that person, because they still objectify many athletes. They'll turn on an athlete at the drop of a dime. And many of them make money off of black athletes. So that's not them helping black athletes. I'm talking about, when has white society ever gotten together and said, collectively, we're going to help black people or a black person? When we look at history, somebody said the Reconstruction era. Not really. If you look at the Reconstruction era, man, they were doing all types of things to sabotage those Reconstruction banks and schools. They took all the money from the damn Reconstruction banks, the Freedmen banks. The white supremacists took all the money from that. Also, down there in the South, they had to have federal troops protecting the Reconstruction and the Freedmen's Bureau, because the bitter ass white supremacists in the South, they were mad at black people for helping the Union win the war. This is why when they took all those federal troops out of the South, black people started to be lynched and attacked en masse. And plus, the white people who did try to help, the Southerners were getting at the white people. Some of the white teachers who went down South to help them out during Reconstruction to teach at the freedmen schools, a lot of these white women were being attacked, labeled as nigger lovers. So yeah, trust me, the white supremacists did not like the Freedmen's Bureau, and they did everything they could to sabotage and undermine it. So that ain't it. So when we look at history, you see that the white supremacists or white society, they've never gotten together to collectively say, we're going to help black people or a black person with something that they need. As we see black people, black boys in particular. When a black boy needs a proper education, white society doesn't go around saying, hey, let's all get together and provide a proper education for this black child. When a black child needs proper housing. White society doesn't get together and say, hey, we need to get decent and adequate housing for these black boys or black girls. When a black child, particularly a black boy, gets killed by a race soldier, white society ain't going out here saying, hey, we need to get justice for this black child. This is why Zimmerman is walking around here protected by white society. White society doesn't do anything to help black people, especially black boys, when we need them to, when we need them in a courtroom, when we need them as a judge, when we need them in the police force, they're nowhere to be found. When we need them in the education system, they're nowhere to be found. But all of a sudden, when a black child wants to put on a wig or a dress, white society jumps out en masse and supports them. Whenever we do something that's regressive, they give their full support. Whenever Lizzo's big chunky ass puts on an outfit with her whole asshole out, white society is like, oh my God, that's so great and liberating. So whenever white society en masse supports a black person, notice it's always some shit that's low-key degenerate or something that's not going to benefit black people as a whole, or something that's going to carry on stereotypes that's going to be used against us. Notice that. It's never anything that's really constructive for black people collectively. So when we see white society en masse supporting something that a black person is doing, when they're going out of their way to support it, that right there should be the first red flag. You understand? Anytime white society wants to prop up a black person and really put extras on supporting that black person and what that black person is doing, that is always a red flag. When we say we want reparations en masse, a lot of us are saying that. They tell us to go to hell. When we want a race soldier locked up, they tell us to go to hell. We have to march in the streets. They're like, we don't care about you marching. Go to hell. They ignore our pleas and our cries. But the minute a black kid puts on a dress and says that he wants to change his gender identity, white society comes out and props him up en masse. So that should let you know that's not going to be something constructive for black society. And that brings us to Dwayne Wade and his son. White society's parading Dwayne Wade around. Dwayne Wade is going around talking about his son is now going to identify as a girl. His son is trans, and white society is jumping over themselves supporting this. That's a red flag. And if any black person says, hey, this is kind of weird, white society and their Negro minions will attack you. This shows you that something is not good. The only time white society gets together and supports something about a black person is when it's going to ultimately harm black people in the long run based on their history. Now, Dwayne Wade, many people say that he seems like he has some issues with his own sexuality. I'm not saying that because I don't know it. That's a possibility. Could he be living vicariously through his son because of some potential issues that he has? We don't know. But Dwayne Wade is parading his son around, and that's his son. You're supposed to love your son and your children no matter what. No matter what their level of masculinity or femininity is, you still love your children, especially a young child like that. But this whole thing where they're using the child as an experiment, running around talking about the child is going to identify now as a girl and he's a trans, That's not cool because you can't explain what none of that is logically. I look at things from a logical standpoint. They can't explain none of that stuff logically to an adult. When an adult asks questions about this trans thing as far as a child and this child now identifying as a girl, they can't give you logical answers. I'm talking about the people pushing this narrative. They can't give a logical answer on it. If you can't logically explain something, then that's a problem. And you shouldn't be pushing it on a child if you cannot logically explain what it is you're labeling this child. You understand what? And Lil Bootsy, the rapper, he did a video saying, hey, man, if your child is gay, that's whatever, but don't cut his dick off. No, don't cut his dick off. And a lot of folks tried to call Bootsy homophobic and transphobic, but these were the white supremacists and their Negro immigrant minions doing this. I'll get on them in a minute. But the thing is with Dwayne Wade and his son, him parading his son around as a mascot for the white LGBT community, I object to that. This child is too young to be used as a mascot for the white LGBT community. He's too young for that. And we don't know what's going on with that family. We don't know. We shouldn't put black children out there like that when there's issues with the family that are seemingly unresolved. Now, Dwayne Wade's ex-wife, I think her name is Siobhan. And she seems kind of off, the mother of the child. I think they're going to name him Zaya now, and just all this old crazy bullshit. They're going to name the boy Zaya. He's a girl, and they're going to name him Zaya. But the mother, from what I understand, Siobhan, I think that's her name, the mother, you know, at one point she was running around here trying to get some money, and she had a sign sitting on the ground talking about she's homeless or something. She was just doing all types of crazy shit. And from what I understand, because she's written a couple of books, she was molested, raped as a child by a friend that the mother invited in the home, another troubled male teen that her mother invited in the home, and she was raped by this guy. So this woman doesn't appear to have healed from that. She hasn't really healed from that. A lot of folks don't know this. So she was raped as a child. So we have people out here who have not healed, raising other children, and we don't know what's going on in these households. We don't know. We don't know. But I've seen posts of her, you know, going back a year or so, and she still refers, from what I understand, she refers to her son as her son. Her son. She posted a picture of the little boy, Zaya, who they call now, and she referred to him as her son. So it's a clusterfuck of confusion, and this will really confuse children. And I'm not saying that the mother's crazy, but her going out here having little meltdowns and all this stuff, you know, you don't do all that. And again, you don't know how people are going to react to being sexually violated, so you don't know. You don't know. So I'm not faulting that woman or anything like that. I'm just saying, when you have a family that has trauma and nobody has not healed from that, you put that on other family members. You have that energy around. We don't know what's going on with the family. And when you start saying that this child is trans, what are you saying? What does that mean? Well, he's transgender. What does that mean? Let's make it make sense. Because people can't really explain what that means. And then when you start talking to people about it, they start trying to talk in circles. See, they're still fleshing out the bullshit. when you ask these people, okay, what do you mean he's trans? Well, he identifies now as a girl. How is he a girl? Well, gender identity is what you feel in your mind. Okay, so he's a girl, or anybody who wants to be a woman, they can be a woman based on how they feel in their mind. Yes, that's gender identity. Okay, so if that can be recognized, well, then what's stopping a 40-year-old white man from saying, hey, I identify as an 8-year-old girl? Well, or nothing, because a white man did try to do that. A white pedophile went to court and he said, well, shit, since we got all this gender identity, well, shit, I identify. I molested some kids, but I'm an 8-year-old girl. So it's not really molestation because I identify as an 8-year-old girl. That was his defense. Now, I don't know how far that went in the court, but they're starting to do that now because that's where this is going. Let's just be clear. What they're trying to do is ultimately normalize pedophilia in black society because we're the only society on the planet that does not have open pedophilia. We do not have an open pedophilia society in foundational black American society. You're going to start hearing the term pedophobic pretty soon because they're going to start trying to normalize pedophilia. When you get black children and sexualize them, because this is what this all is, they try to take the word transsexual and flip it and say transgender, but you're still talking about sexuality. And then they start talking in circles when you ask people, okay, what do you mean a person is a transsexual? Well, they feel like they're a girl. So does a girl have a penis? I asked somebody this yesterday. They were like, yes, a girl does have a penis. Remember when dude was on the Breakfast Club and he was talking about, we need to just stop worrying about people's dick. That don't mean nothing. We just got to stop worrying about people's dicks. No, I'm not going to stop worrying about a dick. If I'm chilling with somebody, hypothetically, and I'm married, I'm not chilling with nobody. But if I'm chilling with, I think is a woman, and that woman pulls out a dick, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because, see, this is pedophile predator talk. Don't worry about that dick. I'm just like a woman. No, you're not. Because if we're going to go that route, why don't you define what a girl or a woman is? What's a female? Define what a female is. Because if anybody can be a female based on what they feel in their mind, then what's the definition of a female? Ask them questions like this, and then they get stuck. That's when you get them stuck. Okay, if you cannot logically explain what you're talking about and what you're doing, then we don't need to be rocking with that. If it's not making logical sense, if you cannot define what a female is, what's the definition of a female since anybody can be one in their mind? Then what is the definition of a female then? See, watch these little confusing terms that they keep trying to throw out. It's confusing to an adult because it doesn't make sense. So imagine how this is going to play out with children. This type of confusion should not be thrown at children. That is a problem. They got some shit talking about third gender. Gender fluidity. And there's a third gender. There's no third gender unless you're talking about a penis, vagina, and a bussy. That's the only third gender, the bussy. And that ain't really no gender. That's basically what they're talking about. The third gender is the bussy. It's mass confusion. Just like Neely Fuller said, he said the white man's anus is going to replace the black woman's vagina. See, this is, look at the language these white supremacists are throwing out. They sit up here in think tanks and come out with all of these jive-ass terms and all of this sexual confusion. This is all it is. If you cannot explain what you're talking about logically to an adult, you don't need to be pushing it on children. Asking questions about what the hell you're talking about is not homophobic. See, that's a domineering thing. When you ask questions and you tell people to shut up or we're going to call you homophobic, now you're being predatory. Now you're buck breaking. This is buck breaking that you're doing now. You understand? And when people were criticizing Bootsy the other day, I noticed most of it was coming from these Negro minions who worked at all of these liberal white corporate entities. It was these niggas, these shea butter, cake soap, Jollof rice eating niggas from the Sambo foreign class. All of these non-foundational Black American Negroes co-signing this bullshit. Because see, let me explain. The reason why you see all these foreign Negroes co-signing this is because they come from countries that's already been devastated by this. They understand that the white supremacists are trying to wipe us out and replace us, so they're there to assist them. These dusty niggas are right there with the white supremacists trying to undermine us and assist them with this. And assist them with attacking us. Every single time I see some Negro running around talking about how homophobic Black society is, it's always, damn near 9 times out of 10, some foreign flag Negro. Almost every time, folks. We got to be real about this. The agenda to undermine and wipe Black people out is very, very real. So you watch these people, when you see these folks online talking about their Black feminists, that's a code word for non-foundational Black American who has hatred for us. When you see these people talking about their immigrants, they're talking about their feminists, they're really first and second gen immigrants who have contempt for Black American society. But let's look at this thing from a historic context. Because the white supremacists, they've always sexualized Black children in order to further objectify Black children. If you look at art from the 1700s in particular, and early 1800s, you would see white royalty, especially in Europe, and even over here too. One common theme was to see white royalty, a white king or prince or duke or some type of white aristocrat with a young Black servant boy with him in the painting. And the servant boy will be well-dressed. Now, understand, they were molesting those children. If you look at a lot of paintings, just Google Moorish servant child, and you'll see a lot of these little well-dressed boys in pictures with these white males. They're little eunuchs, the little buck-broken servants that they would have around. So they were doing that all the way back in the 1700s, 1800s, and over here, it became more sinister. And I've talked about the buck breaking that went on the plantations. We all know about the rapings of the Black women, but one thing that's not talked about, all the rapings of the Black men on these plantations. And understand this. The first documented sex change happened during slavery. In fact, it happened down in New Orleans. This was the first documented sex change where there was a white female slave owner. And let's be very clear, some of the white female slave owners were just as brutal, if not more brutal, than the white men. But down there in Louisiana, there was a white female slave owner, Madame LaLaurie. This woman was a monster. Her mansion that she kept her Black slaves in, it's still down there in New Orleans. I think it's over there in the French quarters. Madame LaLaurie. This woman was a slave owner, and she's listed in history as a serial killer. Because this woman was murdering her Black slaves, and she was dismembering her Black slaves. As a matter of fact, the television show American Horror Story, they did an episode based on this woman. They had Kathy Bates playing her, if you guys watch that show. I know my wife watched that show. Her name is Madame LaLaurie, L-A-L-A-U-I-R-I-E, Madame LaLaurie. She was a French woman, and this woman would do experiments, because her husband was a doctor too, so they would decapitate the slaves, they would tear off their limbs, there would be slaves in the attic with their eyes gouged out. This woman would do all types of vile, vicious things to her black slaves. There was one female slave where they broke all of her limbs and reset her body so she would look like a crab. There was one black female slave that they peeled her skin back. I mean, they kept people alive doing this stuff. And it was documented that one of the black male slaves, they took his genitals and turned him into a woman. They did a sex change operation and turned him into a woman. This is documented. I want you to Google this. One female slave who was 12 years old, she was brushing Madame LaLaurie's hair. She made a mistake and caught a snag in her hair. So Madame LaLaurie was about to beat the child, and the child ended up jumping out of a window and dying. And this is all documented. The child was buried on the grounds, and I think Madame LaLaurie only got fined $300. They were doing stuff like putting animal feces in slaves' mouths and then sewing their mouths shut. This is some sick stuff that was going. This was sick for that day. There was a slave who was 70 years old who was chained to a stove. There's a female slave. So the female slave tried to commit suicide by burning the house down. She set a fire. So the house caught on fire. Then the firemen came and the community came, and they were trying to get all the valuables out the house. And there was a particular room that Madame LaLaurie did not want them going into, but they ended up breaking the door down, and they saw all of these black people living in cages, being hung up, their arms missing, the sex changes. They found all of these black people mutilated. You understand? And then this is how they found out about how dangerous this woman was. And she was so vicious, the white people actually ran her out of town. And this is New Orleans. You got to understand how vicious somebody is for the white people to run you out of town. They ran her back to France. And people talk about how that mansion is still haunted to this day. But white people ran her out of town. And some, New Orleans had some of the most vicious white supremacist slave owners out there. If you get ran out of town by other white people, you're really doing the most. You're really doing the damn most, because the French, they were known for all of that, that real vile, violent shit. And also, a lot of them were still salty for being beaten by the Haitians. So they felt a certain way about that. So they were still salty about that. But it was some pure evil going on. The shit that this woman was doing was overtly evil for even that day. But even the, but just the sex changes and all this stuff, the mutilation of our genitals. See, they were doing that stuff on these plantations. And from what I understand, that mansion, Nicolas Cage owns that mansion today. Nicolas Cage, from what I understand, he owns that place now. You understand? But go check out American Horror Story. They talked about that. They talked about it. But that just goes to show you how vile these people are when it came to our sexuality. It always goes down to sexuality. They always got to do experimental things with us sexually. And just like when they would lynch black people, because cutting off our genitals and doing things to our genitals, This was a normal thing with the white supremacists. They would lynch black people and castrate them. That was the main thing. The castration, that was the main event. Not the hanging, but the castration. And white society, they had no problem with that. But when Bootsy says, hey, man, don't cut your son dick off. Now white society is fake outraged over Bootsy saying, hey, don't cut the genitals off of a little boy. Because, see, that's the trick of white supremacy. If they can get you to do something that they've been doing, that's magic. Now they can remove all guilt. If they can get you to say, hey, I want to emasculate my child. I want to castrate my child because I'm being progressive. Think about it. They used to castrate us, but now if they can convince you, hey, if you castrate your son, that means that's representation. We'll support you. If you castrate your own child or yourself, this is why they're pushing this trans thing so hard in black society. We used to castrate you, but now why don't you do it to yourself? That's the new thing. Why don't you castrate your damn self? You dig? See, we got to understand the game and how it works. But they've always objectified and sexualized black children. We know that black children were being raped during slavery. We know that. We understand that. And when you look at images during Jim Crow, just like the one on your screen right now, if you're looking at your screen, this image was very common. During the Jim Crow era, they would put these objectifying images of black people and particularly black children. One image that they would do of black children, they would always show black children, particularly black babies, in sexualized connotations. Like this image here, they got three black children, and two of them are almost making out with each other, and both of them have their buttocks exposed. This was a common theme with postcards. If you look at Google the term Black Americana, black babies, you would always see images of black babies with their asses out, and they would always have their asses looking abnormally big for a child. Children's asses ain't this big, but they would always make the buttocks of the child exaggerated and bigger than what it was supposed to look like for a child. This was almost a way of softcore porn. This was a way of taking away a child's innocence, because when you sexualize a child, what you're saying is that this child is less innocent. So when I harm this child, I am somewhat justified in doing so. So when I rape this child, this is the white supremacist mindset. Well, I'm justified in doing so because this child likes it. When they molest these children, well, these children, they deserve it because they like it. This is why they love showing images even today of black people and black young people twerking and dancing. That's the way to objectify black people. That's why it's not cute when you see children twerking and all that stuff. That's used to justify to harm those children. You adultify the children by doing that. So when you practice systematic white supremacy, you shouldn't feel so bad for harming a child, because these aren't regular children. So this is why black children are punished more severely than white ones. This is why black children are tried as adults. You have 13 and 14 year old kids tried as adults. Because when you sexualize children at a young age, you objectify them. There was one white LGBT guy. He's an activist. I want to get this guy's name. What's this guy's name? Hold on. I'm going to find this guy's name while I'm talking. what is this guy's name? He's an activist. He was in San Francisco. Hold on, I'm gonna find his name real quick. Hold on 1 second. I want to find this guy's name while I'm talking. I know I'm not going to be able to find it now while I'm talking, but he was an activist in San Francisco. Let me see if I can find it real quickly. And he was a very well-respected LGBT activist. And this guy, he was charged with possession of child pornography. Okay, this is his name. Larry Brinken, okay? He's a gay icon in San Francisco. Very well-respected white LGBT dude. Larry Brinken, that's his name. So a couple of years ago, they nailed him for having child pornography. And they pulled up some of his messages to other pedophiles. And there was obviously some images or videos of black babies getting raped by white men. And he said in the chat, he said, "I love especially seeing the nigger 2-year-old getting nailed." There was a 2-year-old black child getting raped, and this asshole, Larry Brinken, look him up. He's a white LGBT dude. He texts, "I love seeing the nigger 2-year-old getting nailed." This is the sick type of shit that we have out here. So he was getting off on seeing a black child being raped. Now, this was fairly recent. This was a couple of years ago. Larry Brinken, look that up. So, yeah, when you objectify black children, us getting raped, oh, they get off on that. They get off on this type of stuff. But this whole thing about black children being objectified, black children, especially black boys, being effeminized, if you look at history, there's a historic context to it. How many of you guys are old enough to remember the TV show back in the day, The Little Rascals, Our Gang? Now, back in the 80s, they would show reruns of this. They don't show reruns of it on television anymore because it's politically incorrect, because of all the racial stereotypes. But if you grew up in the 80s, at least, you would see reruns of the Our Gang television show, The Little Rascals. This was a TV series that started in the 1920s, and I think it went on all the way through the 1930s, possibly the 40s. But with The Little Rascals, some of the characters that they had, one of the first characters that was black, they had a brother named Alan Hoskins. He was a child actor. He played a character called Farina. Now, Farina, the character, was deliberately made sexually androgynous. And then they had a character called Buckwheat. They made Buckwheat sexually androgynous. They wanted, and Hal Roach, who was the producer, he deliberately wanted a black child who could pass as a girl or a boy. But Farina and Buckwheat, if you look at those old cartoons, I mean, not cartoons, but if you look at those old shows, they were dressed like pickaninnies. Go take a look at that. They would have Buckwheat and Farina dressed like a girl. Buckwheat, these two little boys, they would have them dressed as girls. They would have ribbons in their hair. They would have them dressed as pickaninnies. It was really a play on the character from Uncle Tom's Cabin, Topsy. Topsy was a pickaninny in Uncle Tom's Cabin book. But Farina and Buckwheat were little boys who they dressed as girls. They buck broke them. They were already buck broken. Now, why did they have them dressed like girls? If you look, they would have them in dresses and all the whole thing. Now, why did they do this? This was to make them sexually subordinate to the white male characters. This was to create sexual subordination to the white little boys. You understand that? Whenever you have a black male, when the white supremacists put a black male next to a white male, there has to be some type of intrinsic flaw with the black male. He can't really be a black man or a real black male. You got to make him almost into a female. Or there has to be some type of handicap, like with Buckwheat. The Buckwheat character, he couldn't talk worth a damn. He couldn't talk for shit. Hey, okay, papa. They would have him talking real crazy compared to the white characters. So that was buck breaking. Doing these little experiments. And they would always do this. This went on until really the 70s. And hell, I won't even say the 70s. They do that now. It didn't even stop in the 70s and 80s. They still do it now. Look at those shows like that started in the 70s, like Different Strokes and shows like that. They would have, you know, Gary Coleman, who they got a little boy who couldn't really grow, being subordinate to this white man. They got Emmanuel Lewis, another male who would not grow, who couldn't grow, subordinate to the white family. Instead of calling his parents mom and dad, he called them George and ma'am. I remember, if y'all remember the show Webster, remember he would call the mother ma'am like a fucking slave. Y'all go look that up. The show Webster with Emmanuel Lewis, his adopted parents, that was the theme, white people adopting black kids. Instead of mom and dad, he would call the white woman ma'am. Some real plantation shit that was going on. But even other shows where they would have a non-white substitute black person next to a white man in the 70s and 80s, it was that same thing. Y'all remember the TV show Fantasy Island, where they had the character Tattoo, played by Herb Villechaize? They had Mr. Rourke, the tall, dashing white man. And next to him was his sidekick, a little non-white midget named Tattoo, who couldn't talk. He had a list.
Buff, buff, the plane, buff. Look at the beautiful ladies, buff.
Had a little man, a little midget with a speech impediment.
The plane, buff.
And from what I understand, Tattoo, Herb Villechaize in real life, he had a gang of bitches in real life. he was good. Did he commit suicide? I forgot what happened to Little Tattoo. I remember seeing him back in the day. They would have him in magazines. He would walk around with a cowboy hat on with a gang of bitches with him. I'm like, damn, Tattoo. I want to say he committed suicide. Something happened to him. He died. What happened to Tattoo, guys? I know he died. Did he commit suicide? He did commit. Okay, rest in peace to Little Tattoo. Yeah, he died. Rest in peace to him. But I hope he had some of them breezies with him when he went out. Yeah? But we got to understand the game that's played, how the white supremacists, they've always objectified black children in order to justify harming black children. And also when they have black children and they display black children in a dysfunctional manner, that's a way for them to say, hey, look at how dysfunctional this child is. That's indicative of black culture. That's indicative of his parents. See, that's a way to attack not just the child, but black society. Look at him. Look at his pants sagging. That's black culture. That means his black parents don't know how to take care of him. This is why, family, they're talking about putting together laws now. If a black child does a crime, they're going to start putting the parents in jail. That's part of that whole Kamala Harris thing. See, that Kamala Harris, we're going to lock the parents up if the child misses school. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They've been talking about finding ways to put laws together so if a black child goes and shoplifts or does anything, does a crime or gets into a fight, well, that child is indicative of black society. His parents are the cause of this. So we need to go and lock his parents up. And this is for black people now. They're not about to do this for white people. When a white kid shoots up a school, they're not going to do shit to his parents. They don't never do. You don't ever hear about a white kid's parents when they go shoot up a school. He's a lone wolf. He didn't know what he was doing. It was the Ritalin. It was the drugs. We're going to go after the drug company. They're going to talk that dumb shit. They're never going to go after a white kid's parents. Never, ever, 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 ever. It's always the black kid's parents. It's always black society's fault if a black kid does something. They got a plethora of ready-made excuses for the white supremacists. Even Madame Lalaurie, when you read books on her, some of the white authors, they start white-splaining immediately. They were saying, well, Madame Lalaurie might have suffered from mental illness. Get the hell out of here with that bullshit. No, she didn't. She was just a demonic white supremacist demon. I've read several books that try to fake mention some damn mental illness. No, that ain't it. And when I read other books about how cruel some of these white slave masters are, I really hate reading a lot of stuff from these white authors who are very sympathetic to these white supremacists, because in the preface, they're always trying to explain for them. I got another book about a white slave owner, because I'm doing a lot of research for the Buck Breaking film. And there was another white gay slave owner, and they got his diaries, and I got a book on that. And in the preface of the book, the author explaining, well, when we read this book, we have to understand that we can't judge these plantation owners by our current standards, because many of them were just men of their time. When they start talking that bullshit, they're just, that's white-splaining. That ain't none but man-splaining, because slavery was wrong then. Beating and mutilating people was wrong then, as it is now. It has always been wrong. Selling people and raping them is wrong. It has always been wrong since the beginning of mankind. Don't ever let nobody run that. They were just a person of their time. They try to do that, especially with Susan B. Anthony. When you point out her racist ass, and she was an LGBT, she was a white lesbian who was anti-black as hell. They always try to explain with her, well, she was a woman of her time. No, she was just another damn racist white supremacist. Our sister Ida B. Wells called her out on it then. This is why, family, we have to always call these people out and call it white supremacy. We get scared to say that. Call it what it is so they don't get to wiggle around and try to deflect into something else. Because when you don't call out white supremacy, you normalize what they're doing. So 50 years from now, when we start talking about the Zimmermans and how brutal these white supremacists were with killing so many black people, they'll use the same excuse. Well, Zimmerman wasn't so bad. He was just a man of his time, and that's just the way it was. No, you always have to call that stuff out. You have to call it out and call it out consistently. So our sister Ida B. Wells was calling them out big time. And I really want to do something about Ida B. I really want to do a piece on Ida B. Wells. They've erased our sister from history. That was a phenomenal sister, man. We don't know how thorough and how badass Ida B. was. That's why I have her on the foundation of Black American Church. I've been thinking about doing a documentary about that sister for the longest. And y'all remind me of that. I always say certain things I'm going to do documentaries about. That's one of them. I'm definitely going to do one about that sister. I want to do something about Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. I want to do something about the first foundation of Black Americans who were documented coming here in 1526, who rebelled against the Spanish. I want to do something about them. I want to definitely do something about Ida B. Wells. I definitely want to do something about her, because that sister was behind a lot of movements that she doesn't get credit for. Us celebrating Black History Month, which was attributed to Carter G. Woodson, she was influential in that too. A lot of folks don't know that. Ida B. Wells was very influential in that. She was influential with the NAACP when it first started, but she backed out because she saw what the white supremacists were about to do with it. Remember, she was a part of the initial founding of the NAACP. When she saw that the white supremacists was going to be on some bullshit, she was like, this is something else. So I don't want to put my cred on this. This is about to be something else. She was influential in getting the word out about Marcus Garvey. A lot of folks don't know that. So our sister Ida was a rider, and they don't really talk about her because Ida B. Wells wasn't on that nonviolence bullshit. Ida said, look, every black home needs to have a damn gun. And Ida B. Wells was known for having a damn piece on her. Ida B. Wells would fight a damn white supremacist. This was a rider. They don't talk about how fly this sister was. Ida B. Wells was with the shits, 100%. They don't talk about how fly this sister was and how about it she was. They just know that she was a very well-respected person in black society. Then they try to tack that on to, well, she was a feminist. No, the hell she wasn't. She wasn't no goddamn feminist. And she would call out the racism of Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Canton and all those other white supremacist feminists. She would call their asses out. And this is why we have to understand and we have to promote and talk about our history. It's very important for us to stay on that. This is why y'all need to get the Hidden Colors Black History gift pack at hiddencolorsfilm.com and share it with people who need to know that information. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com and get that Black History sale, $49 for all six DVDs. Also go to the Foundational Black American Conference website, FBAC2020.com, and get your tickets for the Foundational Black American Conference happening in June. I am out. I will talk to you guys Sunday. Y'all be good.